The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle, his second epistle, rather, to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and sent him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these I will give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, there were once three men who applied for a job as a chauffeur in a limousine company. Before deciding on which of the three men to hire, the recruiting agent took them out in a company car to test their driving skills. Together, the four men drove up a narrow, winding mountain road until they came to a dangerous ravine. And the man from the limousine company said to the men applying for the job, As a test, I would like you to drive this car at a high speed towards the edge of that ravine. At the last moment, brake hard. And we'll see which among you can get closest to the edge of the ravine. The first man backed the car up the road, pointed the car directly at the cliff, and floored the accelerator. Faster and faster they approached the drop-off, until almost at the last second, the driver slammed on the brakes and brought the car to a screeching halt, only about a foot from the edge of the precipice. The other men in the car were a bit shaken by the experience, but after a few moments, the second applicant declared that he could do better. Backing the car up even further to get more of a head start, the second driver took off towards the cliff even faster than the first man had. At the last possible moment, he hit the brakes and he spun the car sideways so that it skidded up to the edge of the embankment, only about 8 inches or so from the edge. And the other men in the car had to admit that he had done very well. The man testing the applicants then turned to the third fellow, and he said, "All right, Sonny, let's see what you can do." The third man shook his head slowly, and then he answered, "I'm sorry, sir, but to me the risk is too great. I would never put my client or the company's vehicle in such a dangerous situation as this." And then he added, "I guess I'll just have to pass on the job." The agent was clearly pleased, and he said, "My friend, that is exactly the answer I was looking for. The job is yours." Now, my dear faithful, in the Gospel for the Mass today, we read the account of our Lord's temptation in the desert. And it's important to understand that our Lord cannot be tempted in the sense that we are tempted. For as the Son of God, it is impossible for him to commit a sin. St. Gregory the Great says that our Lord went into the desert to attack the enemy, the devil, and to fight against him as one of us. And thus, by overcoming the devil, our Lord would show us the way to victory when we are faced with temptations. But there's another point in the gospel which a certain scripture commentator draws out. The devil took our Lord to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to cast himself down from it while relying on God to save him. And our Lord answered the devil, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And by this response, this commentator says, our Lord gave us a warning. And that warning is, we cannot expect God to preserve us from sin when we place ourselves unnecessarily in the near occasion of sin. In other words, my dear faithful, we cannot take reckless and foolhardy chances and then expect God to save us. Very often, you may hear sermons about the near occasions of sin, or perhaps you read this phrase in certain spiritual books. But what does this phrase really mean? What do we mean when we say near occasions of sin? An occasion of sin is defined as some external circumstance, such as a person or a place or a thing, that leads one into sin. For example, a bad companion who encourages someone to use foul language, such a companion is a near occasion of sin. And depending on the type of language, it could be a near occasion of mortal sin. A movie theater showing indecent shows would be an example of a place which is a near occasion of sin. Likewise, music with impure lyrics. Such music is a near occasion of sin because the lyrics suggest and encourage similar behavior. And when a person freely and deliberately exposes himself to these external circumstances which encourage him to sin, he is putting himself in a near occasion of sin. And my dear faithful, to deliberately put oneself in these near occasions is in itself a sin. To deliberately take a serious risk with the life of grace in your souls is a sin. We know that we can't do even the smallest good action without the help of God's grace. And this means we can't resist even the smallest temptation without God's help. When the devil tempts us, when our fallen human nature struggles to get the better of us, when external circumstances arise which are out of our control, if we pray and do our part to overcome these temptations, God's grace will always be there to help us. But when we deliberately put ourselves in some external circumstance, we tempt God. And this is what our Lord condemns in the gospel for today's Mass. People who tempt God in this manner are like the reckless drivers in the story. They drive too close to the edge and needlessly endanger themselves. They think they can enjoy the immoral entertainment of the world or the companionship of bad friends up to a certain degree, and right before falling over the precipice of mortal sin, they will slam on the brakes and get out of that bad situation. But my friends, they deceive themselves. God's grace will not be there to help them. And without his help, of course, they are lost. Very often the devil knows that a person would not sin if he merely tempted him by openly suggesting some terrible mortal sin. And so instead, the devil tempts him to associate with friends who engage in these sins. And soon, because of these bad companions, the good man is sinning just like one of them. How many souls are now in hell, my dear faithful, because they counted on their own strength to get out of a bad situation when the temptation to sin became too strong? My dear faithful, we must have a realistic outlook as to what constitutes near occasions of mortal sin in our lives. Undoubtedly, today, the internet and certain forms of entertainment are the greatest source of temptation. The unsupervised use of the internet, especially by the young, is a near occasion of sin. And parents will be held responsible for what they allow their children to view in their home, on the internet or on the TV. Parents will have to answer for the danger in which they put their children, especially if it was through negligence. If the television or the internet, whether on the computer, the iPhone, the iPad, or the tablet, if these things are an occasion of sin for us or for our families, we have an obligation, if we would save our souls, to remove it from our homes and from our lives, or to make it what we call a remote occasion of sin, that is, an occasion in which one rarely or never falls into sin. And I especially stress the unsupervised use of the internet, because, as Bishop Kelly once said, parents are responsible before God for the spiritual safety and well-being of their children. If the internet is in your home, you must see to it, he said, that your children are absolutely supervised. And if this was true years ago when Bishop Kelly said it, how much more so is it true today? Between the computer, the TV, the cell phone, we are constantly surrounded by those external circumstances which can and will lead us into sin if we don't use them with the utmost care and caution. And so how careful we all must be what and who we allow into our homes and into our lives. My friends, let us be like that prudent young man in the story who would never take a chance with the life of his client or the property of his employer. How much more valuable is the life of sanctifying grace in our soul than our earthly property or our bodily life? If we would preserve this grace and the friendship of God, we must take every measure necessary to avoid what might endanger this friendship. And have confidence that if you do your part to flee those near occasions of sin, God's grace will not be lacking. You will persevere in the state of grace, and you will save your soul. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.